Welcome to Psychopath in Your Life. This is episode number 12. I'm your host, Diane Emerson. I'm the author of the book, Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews. It's now available on Amazon and iBooks. Today we're going to be talking about gaslighting, but before we get started, I'd like to add a program note here. There's a lot of things that have to take place when dealing with a psychopath before they can really start gaslighting you. So I would really recommend that if you haven't tuned in to the earlier podcast, you might take a listen, because there's a lot to be said about how they identify you, how they gather information, and all these details that lead up to things that they have to know about you before they can begin the gaslighting process. I really received a lot of emails, and I thank you very much for them. It's good to hear from people. And after the last episode about information gathering, because it's really one of the key things in how dealing with a psychopath starts to get going. So let me just give you a general recap of the questions in the recent emails. And it was basically along the lines of, this is the first relationship I've been in that I have this overwhelming feeling of being crazy. Have I gone crazy, or is something being done to me to get me to have these feelings? I can now see how this person being interested in me was just a con. I really feel disgusted. Well, first of all, I know that feeling disgusted is a very natural way to feel, but remember, psychopaths seek out kind and caring people. So now that you've seen how they've set you up, it's very true that one thing that's always interested me is how kind and caring people get so taken in. And the information gathering is how it starts, but it's also very important that it's just not information gathering like sitting and taking down a checklist of things. It's really a lot of bonding that starts to take place. I mean, you're being comfortable, you're talking to this person about things that are near and dear to your heart. They are listening very carefully to you. Now we know why they were listening carefully to you, but remember, you were sitting there and you were innocent to all of this, so you were basically bonding. And it's the bonding that starts to have the relationship develop. Even though we were talking about how people get involved, and I was referring to it as the information gathering stage, I don't mean to make it sound cold or anything like that. It was really an exchange from your heart to this person who was basically setting you up. So let's talk about, what do psychopaths do with all this information they've gathered up? Well, you know that they've set you up to get the information. So that's really the most important and interesting part, and where the evil really begins. And over the years, I've never heard a victim mention the word gaslighting. There were more common comments about things about being duped, feeling they were crazy, isolated, and pretty much as low as a person can go. And there's a reason for all this. While it seems like gaslighting has become somewhat of a buzzword the last few years, when it is done effectively, it's a seamless action. So what do I really mean by that? Well, I learned many years ago that in order to figure something out, you have to have a base level of knowledge to know what questions to ask. I was at that point with this why the victims always talked about this feeling of being crazy. They felt like they were the crazy one in the room. And how on earth did the information gathering stage move to this stage? It moved from one to the next. So one day I was watching one of my favorite old movies called Gaslight, and I started to think about how the main character was able to get his new wife, played by Ingrid Bergman, to go through a very scary ordeal, thinking that she was crazy. She really was crazy, and I really highly recommend the book because it shows in detail the process that he went through to get to her. So it brought back to me all those comments from victims about feeling crazy over the years. And I always wondered, how does somebody get to feeling crazy when they started off as a, you know, calm, rational, kind, caring person? So with that, gaslighting was now on my radar. And so I started having a lot of questions. And I was also recovering from a triple ankle fracture, so I really had a ton of time on my hands. So I was wondering, was this the same thing that victims had been talking about when they gave the overall description of being crazy? And why hadn't this come up over the years, which was so baffling to me? We'd never really put a word to it. But the actions, like the feeling crazy part, came up in every victim story. but there wasn't a specific name to it. I started doing some research on gaslighting and came away with even more questions. How did it go undetected? And what was about it that made it so real in real life? I wanted to look for something beyond what Wikipedia would tell me about the subject. I even did some searches on my forum, psychopath-research.com, because for the life of me, I couldn't remember anyone using this term. It appeared the term is getting some traction, but this Google search that I did showed like 1,850,000, so close to 200 million searches came up for the word gaslighting. So I'd like to, address it today from a different angle that goes beyond the definition. And so let's talk first about a little bit of background on the term so we can all get on the same page here. The term gaslighting comes from a 1938 stage play called Gaslight, and it's a husband attempts to drive his wife crazy by dimming the lights in their home, which were powered by gas during that time. Then he denies the lights were changing when the wife asked him about them. So it starts out as a systematic psychological manipulation of a victim by the main character in the stage play, and it was also known as the name Angel Street in the United States. And the film adaptation, which is what I start referring to, was released in the 1945 era, and it was starring Ingrid Bergman and the late Charles Boyer. In the story, in the movie, I didn't see the play. I wasn't alive then, but I mean, I'm pretty old, but not that old. But so I did watch the movie, but and not the play. But in the story, the husband attempts to convince his wife and others that she's insane by manipulating small elements of their environment and insisting that she is mistaken, that she's remembering things incorrectly or delusional when she points out these changes. The original title stems from the dimming of the gas lights in the house that happened when the husband was using the gas lights in the attic while searching for hidden treasure. The wife accurately notices the dimming lights and discusses the phenomenon, but the husband insists that she just imagined a change in the level of illumination. See, that's where she starts. I mean, it's so tiny. I mean, think about lights flickering, and you start to think, well, God, I thought I saw the lights flicker. Anyway, so the goal is to make the victim or victims question their own reality and depend on and to be controlled by the gaslighter. So you start to question yourself in very small ways. So I had some really big questions, and my biggest questions were, I was really wondering, do people who gaslight know what they're doing? I mean, is this something like the information gathering that they can call out and say, yep, these are the steps that I take? And my other question was, do the victims know when it's being done to them? And why were victims all these years not describing it as gaslighting, but more general feelings and terms like being crazy, etc.? It all actually leads in the same direction. The actual action of gaslighting is meant to give the victim of being crazy. It is actually a plot, I mean, really seriously. And it makes them even more susceptible to be controlled by the psychopath in their life. So they start out by getting you to start feeling crazy about small things. And where this road is leading you is down the road to control. So when I was having these questions, and then when I started writing my book, I asked the three psychopaths that I was interviewing if any of them were familiar with the term gaslighting. Well, they all said no. But the next day they answered back after they looked up the term. They came back with a rather kind of enthusiastically level of excitement and said, I may not have known what it was called, but actually, this is one of my favorite things to do to a victim. Okay. So here's a recap of the conversation I had with the psychopaths in my book. I first said to them, in all the years, very few people, or really no one at my forum, have really actually said the word gaslighting. I don't know if it's because they weren't aware of what it was, or if it was the main thing that was driving them down this rabbit hole toward this feeling of being crazy. They would say they felt like the craziest person in the room. So they went on to say, do you think people or victims actually know when you are gaslighting them? And also, can you describe it and how you can do it and not be detected? And my final question was, has anyone caught you gaslighting them? And what would you do if someone caught you? So this verse, we really get interesting. So I'll answer back. I wish I could change my voice, so please don't confuse me as saying these things. So the guy said to me, he said, I didn't realize until afterwards myself. I think it is something that one will see in retrospect once they are out of the situation. No one has ever caught me doing it. I honestly don't know how I'd react if confronted. Not that I'd ever be expect to be, since most people are happy in their blinkering ignorance. Did you see how they kind of threw in that blinkering ignorance? Here we'll be discussing down the road as far as the arrogance, but that statement really says a lot. It says, not that I'd ever expect to be, since most people are happy in their blinkered ignorance. Okay, so let's continue on. So he said, typing that, my mind landed on two tangents. One is accuse them of projection, and the other one was very sarcastic admission. So what I interpret from that is they would use the, like say, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, okay, and use that as a passive-aggressive kind of admission. And so their term retrospective, what I said to them, is consistent with what members at my forum have said over the years. The victims never mention gaslight as the cause of their distress, although it seems evident to me that's a key element in the relationship. When they do mention it, it's from this rearview mirror perspective. No one seemed to be able to express how it was being done, and by these statements and feeling crazy. So what I can kind of say here, I'd like to add to this, is the reason people really couldn't say how it was done was because it's so simple and so small and so hard to detect, even though it just seems so, it seems obvious when we're talking about it. But picture yourself in that situation or think back. So one of them continued on with this. Much of this is in the rearview mirror, for me too. In many ways, as I'm trying to make sense of myself, my behaviors, what drives me, and what I am and what I'm not. But from my perspective, I would say it is more about retaining control. By the time it starts, I'm responding to losing control over the disintegration of the fairy tale that was a relationship up until then. In a few cases, the fake conversations or the punishment of someone really vile, it goes beyond this. But for the most part, it's part of the set, the backdrop to the main performance. I also want to reiterate that I do not think in terms of gaslighting either. That's the whole point. It is something that I only usually recognize retrospectively, as at the time, it is instinctive problem solving that only later adds up to such behavior. This means that when I feel cornered and threatened, I react in ways that may be considered gaslighting or designed to undermine self-confidence. Well, that's really quite an admission there. If you start to think about what they're saying is when they start to see the relationship shift in different ways, questions might come up. That's when they start to feel like they're being cornered. And we will be talking a lot in the future as far as the control issue. So, because it's actually quite straightforward. Gaslighters and psychopaths want to make you feel crazy so they can control you. See, the more you start to lose control, the better a grasp they have on you personally. So once an abusive partner has used gaslighting to break down the victim's ability to trust his or her perception and beliefs, the victim is more likely to stay in the abusive relationship. And remember, that's because the reason for this is because isolation is the end goal for psychopaths. It's a very slow and steady process. Very slow. This could take, people have reported that things start to deteriorate after months and months and months. And it really all depends on how well trained the psychopath is, and or how well socialized would be a better term. So it starts out with all those small things, and we'll be talking about those in future episodes. I'll be wanting to talk to you about some more specific examples. So in the next podcast, we'll talk about that and try to see firsthand how it all fits together. So for today, I hope this podcast has given you some things to think about. I do read all of my emails, and I appreciate hearing from you. It kind of gives me some feedback because I'm not really sure if you want more explanations about things. I'm more than happy to go there. And you can go to psychopathinyourlife.com. It's the same name as the podcast. And you can email me directly. There is a private email box there that you don't need to enter your email address, or you can remain anonymous. And my direct email address is Diane, and the important part is it's Diane with two N's, and that's D-I-A-N-N-E at Diane Emerson, D-I-A-N-N-E-E-M-E-R-S-O-N.com. And you can find the podcast on a bunch of places now. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Facebook, YouTube, and the website. You can actually go to the website psychopathinyourlife.com, and there's an audio box there, and you can listen directly. So what I'd like to know is if you'd like some support for victim support, the forum is still open. There's still a few of us that are still chatting. We have a lot of history of people there to read their stories, and you can find that at psychopath-research.com. And what you'll find there is you can register, and the software will then allow you to keep track of stories. Or if you just want to, you know, read anonymously, whatever your choice is. And if you find somebody's story that you're interested in, all you have to do is click on their name and more of their story will come up so you can read that. As a matter of fact, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing an interview with the father of a psychopathic child and the family struggled to get a diagnosis, their current struggle with placement of the child, and what is going on with the situation like that. So regardless of what kind of situation you're in with the psychopath, I think you'll find a lot of good information at the forum. But anyway, so this show is for you. So I really look forward to hearing your questions and comments. So be safe out there. And I would appreciate it very much if you would subscribe to the show. Thank you very much. And we will be talking with you soon. Goodbye for now.